All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
I'm Dr. Priyanka Wally, medical doctor and stand-up comedian.
And I'm Sean Hayes, actor and hypochondriac. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor. Hi, Priyanka.
Hey, Sean. Oh, my gosh.
How are you?
I am doing really well.
Good.
I just came back from Egypt.
Exactly. I saw photos. Tell me, first of all, it's Scotty. That's his number one, no joke, dream.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
To go to Egypt.
You have to go to Egypt, Sean. It is magical. And I do not use that word lightly. It is a magical place.
Right. I wanted to, first of all, how long were you there? And I want to talk about safety. Did you feel safe?
I felt very safe, but I also was with a tour where we had a security guard accompanying us the entire time.
Yeah.
Which I recommend because...
Oh, yeah. Tell me why that. Why do we all need security guards?
Because the security situation can change at any time. Uh-huh. And if you go with a tour, I was with a small group of about 8 people and an Egyptologist and a security guard, but they register your tour with the Department of State of Egypt. They know where you're going at all times. So if anything ever happens, you're kind of in a very secure setting.
Good.
So I wouldn't do it any other way. Yeah.
Okay, so this is how dumb I am. When you say, in case, quote, anything happens.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean? Because I'm not up on world issues in Cairo and Egypt.
Right. So like, for example, in 2010, the Arab uprising, Arab Spring happened.
Right,
and so there was a lot of upheaval and revolt.
Right.
And I think there were explosions as well.
Right. That I know.
So, you know, that kind of stuff.
Because I remember going online and it says, like, from the United States government, here's a list of countries and places in the world you should not go to right now.
Right, they always
forever,
say that.
Yeah. I know, but forever Egypt's been on the list. So I've been like, I don't want to go to, it seems so scary.
Okay, here's the reason I went. Okay, because usually I'm exactly like you where I don't go to places if the Department of Defense says don't go there.
Yeah.
But in 2018, I came across this book called Opening to Spirit by this author named Shola Arewa. And that book, I read this book and it changed my life. And I found out a couple months ago that this author was leading a very small group to go to Egypt. And I'm obsessed with this book. So I was like, I have to go. I just have to meet this author and I have to go on this tour.
Wow.
And I'm so glad I did because everyone else on the tour was obsessed with the book like me. And they talk about Egypt in the book and it was perfect. It was just, it was incredible.
I love that. And you saw all the stuff.
Yeah. We went to all these temples and pyramids and ancient Egypt, they were such an advanced civilization, Sean. I mean,
I know.
We are living our lives all wrong. We're doing it all wrong.
You're talking to somebody who knows a lot about that shit because my husband knows everything about Egypt.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I had no clue that Scotty was obsessed with Egypt.
Obsessed.
You know, we all came from
Africa. Of course.
This is the motherland. So.
Right. But isn't it, you know what's creepy, which is another podcast. That's not this podcast.
What?
But you know what's creepy? Why it all ended all of a sudden? Where did everybody go?
Well, so I think all civilizations are eventually going to fall.
Yes.
Even our own. But I think everything has its lifespan.
Yeah.
And they had their run and it was glorious and they built pyramids and temples in stone.
But humanity didn't die, only that civilization did.
I think the consciousness shifted, right? So
right.
I just think there are evolutions our consciousness.
But now it's probably slower now, right? Because then it was like, it seemed like it happened faster. Now it's like, I can't imagine the United States going away ever, but I'm sure it will happen someday.
I mean, it has to inevitably. Everything comes to an end eventually.
Oh my God, we're doing a different podcast. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
So, right, but
anyways,
I love it.
Egypt was incredible. And
I know. We're going to talk more
offline
about that.
If you want advice about it, I can.
If you want advice, call Priyanka at 323. No, I'm kidding. but I'm excited about our guest today, Marina Wait, Marina Squarciati.
Yeah, Marina Squarciati.
I know, but it looks like it should be Scherciati.
Right. I know.
Like the Italian thing.
It's Squarciati.
But I'm super, super excited to talk to her. But before we talk to her, we're going to talk to a caller today with an unbelievable story. We're so happy to have her on our podcast. Her name's Marty. And we want to give a content warning for our listeners. The story does include mentions of assault.
Hi.
Hi, Marty.
Hello.
How are you? So nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you too. I'm delighted to meet both of you and see both of your faces.
Oh, we're so delighted to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
And I love like the mood lighting is so nice.
Those curtains. Yeah.
Marty, I want to say, first of all, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for wanting to be on the show.
Yeah.
And I know we're talking about something very sensitive, so we will follow your lead as far as your comfortability and what you want to share and what you don't want to share. But when I read the story, it was just fascinating. And I'm so glad you're here with us to tell it. And we're very, very lucky to have you. So for the listener, this is just a heads up. The top of the trees kind of story is you were sexually assaulted. You had an attempt on your life made, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll stop there and let you take off.
Sure. Well, and I would make one correction, and that is I actually wasn't sexually assaulted.
Okay.
I actually fought off, I believe, what was intended to be a sexual assault.
So,
I was jogging in the woods, and long story short, because I could go into quite a lot of detail, but a guy came upon me and wanted me to go in the woods with him and pulled out a knife. And I said no, and we fought, and he stabbed me twice in my abdomen.
Ay, ay, ay.
Wow.
And I didn't even feel it at the time.
You're in shock, right?
Yeah.
The adrenaline was just kicking. So your pain receptors, there wasn't even a space for that. Wow.
Yeah. I didn't even realize he had stabbed me until I looked down and there was blood. And then he still wanted me to go in the woods with him. And I said, no. And I was like, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. And he started,
obviously.
And I guess I was too much trouble for him. So he started walking the other way, but I had to get like, I want to say it was 3/4 of a mile to get to the road from the path I was on.
Oh my goodness.
Do you feel comfortable sharing? Was it day or night? Was it?
Yeah, it was 4:30 in the afternoon on a June Saturday. And this is a trail that I had jogged on many times. I usually saw people on it.
Wow. And you saw people around this time of day usually too?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And near a big city, kind of removed from a big city?
Yes, right next to a university. So a lot of the college students would use those paths, and the people who lived in the city would use those paths to exercise. And it was an exceptionally hot and humid day. So I think maybe that's why there were less people. But I just started running and screaming and put pressure in my abdomen and started screaming rape, fire, like all the things they say to do. And it's just like nobody was there. And I'm like, where is everybody? So I finally, I finally got to the road and there was a guy coming on his bicycle and he went back to the road and flagged down the police. And then,
oh, thank God.
Yeah, it got me to the ER.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so before we get to the good stuff, which is the medical stuff, because I think it's so interesting. Despite the horrible thing that happened to you. Let me just cut to the end of the story. Did they find the guy and what happened?
Yes. So the police actually were right in the area because he had tried to assault someone before me on a different path.
Oh, wow.
So they were responding to that call. She had gotten away. So they actually waited for him, arrested him that night, didn't have enough to hold him. But he then, when they fingerprinted him, they found out that he was actually wanted for several assaults, had skipped bail previously. And so they went and got him back. And then we did go to trial about a year and a half later after it happened.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. So you ended up seeing this person again at the trial? Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
I would say all the physical stuff that happened and all the emotional stuff. That was probably the hardest thing I had to do emotionally was to go and testify in a sentencing hearing. So he did plead guilty. And he was actually sentenced for attack on me and actually another woman as well.
Mm-hmm. And do we know how long he got? Is he still behind bars?
He's unfortunately not. He got 11 years. And that was kind of the most they could give him. Per the laws they have, they couldn't prove that his intent was to rape me. So they could only get him on like some kind of charge. I'd have to look it up again. But intent to cause bodily harm or something like that.
Yeah.
Wow. This country, I swear.
Know. Like, if you don't finish the job, so to speak, you get less time. I mean, oh my it's so goodness. Crazy. So, but wait, before we get into the physical issues at the hospital, I want to talk about mentally, when it's happening to you, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it must be like so hard to believe that this is happening.
Oh, it was. I did the things I did because I had seen, you know, things on, I want to say on Oprah, et cetera, like what you're supposed to do if someone tries to attack you. Don't leave. Right. Don't go to a secondary location. Don't you scream, all those things. And then I'd also just recently taken an EMT course because I was interested in maybe becoming an EMT. So I started running initially and I was like, if I keep running, I'm going to bleed out because I obviously had like a pretty, so I just put a lot of pressure on my abdomen and walked really fast.
Oh, wow.
And prayed. And then I thought that I had this moment while I was walking, that was, my life is never going to be the same again.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, this is a very big deal, you know,
And he just thought, I'm not going to get anywhere with you, so I'm just going to leave you behind.
Yeah, I think he just gave up.
And as you're sharing, first of all, I just want to thank you for the tremendous amount of courage and strength it is to sort of come forward and talk about, you know, a life-changing traumatic experience like this. So I just want to take a minute and just check in with you. How are you doing in this moment as you're retelling this story, which takes a tremendous amount of energy?
Yeah. It does. I will probably have, what is it called? Vulnerability.
I was going to say.
Vulnerability hangover.
Called
a vulnerability hangover. Yeah.
But well, I'm doing just fine. Thank you for checking in though.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to be clear that physical violence is unfortunately a very frequent crime here in the United States, whether it's reported or not. And so in you sharing this experience at the risk of your vulnerability hangover, there is something to be learned by other people who have survived such traumatic events. I'm curious, before we sort of get into the medical stuff, what sort of words of advice do you have for those who have also unfortunately dealt with similar circumstances?
I would say what I have learned, because this happened about 18 years ago, it was 2004. Mm-hmm. What I've learned is there is no timeline on when you get over trauma. Everybody's experience and healing process is completely different, even if they have a similar situation. Also, you can't compare traumas, and it's your own personal journey. And there's so many different modalities that you have that are available to you. I've tried many different things. I've been in therapy ever since then and suffered some PTSD afterward. And also, don't feel like there's a way you're supposed to feel, you know, like I actually disassociated from it for like over a year and didn't emotionally feel what happened to me for over a year, and then started having a lot of PTSD. And I was like, what's going on? I thought I was fine, you know?
Right. I can only imagine.
It's because I just wasn't even letting myself feel it, you know, at all.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to name that that dissociation is a coping mechanism. Sometimes when the feelings are too intense to feel, we dissociate or we become numb, because that's actually the safest thing for us at that time. And it's only after some time has passed and we've sort of created a new level of safety that then it's actually okay for these emotions to come out. And I think you bring such a brilliant point that healing is nonlinear. And it doesn't look the same for every other person. And comparing your stories with other people is really just a recipe for harming yourself in the process.
Yeah. Priyanka once told me she didn't like a shirt I had on. I'm still recovering from that. But
Three years later.
It's hard to put a shirt on.
Healing
it's hard to
is
put a shirt
not
on.
Linear.
No,
that's
it's
right.
not. Point. Sometimes I go shirtless. All right. So, Marty, I want to talk about the actual, so the incisions from the attack. I don't know what a colectomy is, and I don't know what pulmonary embolism.
Okay, so just to be clear, you were stabbed multiple times, and you ended up needing to get a colectomy. It's a surgical procedure where part of your colon was taken out in a colectomy. So, first of all, did you use a colostomy bag for a period of time, or was this just a direct colectomy me where they took the part out that needed to be taken out and then they just sewed the parts back together, or what happened?
Yeah, the most damage was from the one main wound in the center, just below my belly button. Mm-hmm. And that damaged my small and large intestine. Mm-hmm. I had the best abdominal doctor at the time on call that day. Once a month, he was on the call. He was like the head of the program.
That's great.
And he did a wonderful job repairing my large colon. Mm-hmm. So that I didn't have to have a colostomy. They thought they may have to go back in and give me one later if it didn't hold, but it did. And so I was very fortunate to not have to deal with
fortunate.
That.
How fortunate.
How long after everything, we're going to go through the list of things that happen inside your body, but how long were you out of commission? How long did it take to heal physically?
It took literally over 2 months to fully heal.
Wow.
And that's because that's something that we can get into because it's really fascinating because we did wet to dry natural healing of my abdominal wound where you pack it with, so they sewed up the abdominal wall, but then they left it open to the skin. And so there was this huge gaping wound in my abdomen for at least 2 months, if not three. I actually can't quite remember. But they let it grow back together naturally because it decreases the chance of infection. But I had to pack it and change it twice a day. And I had a wound vac in the beginning.
A wound vac is short for vacuum. It's basically they put this little vacuum, and it's not like a traditional vacuum where you're vacuuming your carpet, but it's a very, very low suction vacuum that they put on the wound to try and help it heal. And it basically decreases air pressure to the wound, so the wound heals more quickly. It's really interesting. And it reduces swelling and it drains the excess fluid.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
I was only attached to that, I want to say, for about maybe 4 or 5 days in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then it was just the packing of the wounds. But I was in the hospital for 3 weeks.
Right, wow. Right. And you also had a pulmonary embolism, isn't that correct? So, Sean, a pulmonary embolism.
Yes,
we've talked about it before, but it's basically when you get a clot to one of the parts of your lung. It's a blood clot sent to the lung. But the question I have for you, Marty, is typically pulmonary embolisms, they originate from some of the deep veins of the leg. The clot originates in the deep veins of the leg and it comes up into the lung. But there's other reasons pulmonary embolism arise. Do you know how you got the pulmonary embolism?
I was 28 years old at the time and I was very healthy. So it was a surprise. I believe, you know, after surgery, when you are very incapacitated, you can't really get up.
Yes.
They put these leg sleeves on you that inflate to help the circulation. They didn't leave them on very long.
Oh, wow.
And then I was I had open wound in my abdomen. I couldn't get up. I mean, they were trying to get me up and walk around, but I was very immobile, very, very immobile.
Yeah.
And I guess
that'll do it.
They did test me for blood clotting disorder, et cetera, later, just to see if that was, and I didn't have one. But I think just from the trauma of the surgery, sometimes they say blood clots can form that way too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And especially if you weren't moving a lot, just out of curiosity, and if you don't remember, you don't want to answer, but sometimes birth control pills can make people at risk for blood clots. Were you on birth control pills at that time by any chance?
Oh, I have got to get off mine.
You know what? I don't think I was at the time. I have taken them in the past, but I don't think I was at the time because I remember them like being like, you know, they went through everything. Like, why did she get these? And it was multiple in both lungs. I had bilateral.
Wow.
I read that a friend of yours was working there in the hospital.
Oh my gosh. This is amazing. So I met this guy, Tom. He's a sweetheart. One of these emergency medicine residents. When I was doing some time for the EMT class, you would go in and shadow them in the ER overnight. So we became friends. And when they
I know Tom. Yeah. I was in residency with him too. Right?
Yeah.
Who's this Tom? Why don't I know Tom?
You know Tom. Everybody should have a Tom in their life, let me say. Yeah. Let me tell you, because he ended up saving my life because he was there when they wheeled me in and held my hand in the ER. But then he diagnosed me a week later when he was visiting me in my room because his aunt had died from a pulmonary embolism.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Wait, so that's so wild that you were hanging out with him, then this happened, then you showed up at the hospital. He's like, wait, what's going, like, yeah. He must have freaked him
he
out.
He was, yeah. Oh, yeah, I freaked him out. Definitely.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Well, let me just say, Marty, first of all, thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
It's incredible. And I have to say, I don't know you. I just met you. And you have such a light about you.
Yeah.
Like, there is... You, yeah. You do.
You sure have, it's like, not the lighting in here?
Well, you literally no. do have a light about you.
No,
but
you
it's
do.
Also
you
an
have
energetic
like,
light.
Yeah, you have like a wonderful energy. And like you, I could just tell you're like a positive person people want to be around.
You are a living testament to what deep, deep recovery looks like. Deep, deep healing.
Yeah. And it never ends. And it is sometimes a roller coaster. Like I still have my good times and my bad times. But it's definitely improved over the years, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's truly inspiring. So thank you so much.
Well, I am grateful and I just feel very fortunate and blessed to be here as well. And delighted to talk to you guys. I have been a listener since day one. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
Love you
You're
guys.
You're so sweet. Love you back, honey.
Thanks. Take care.
Okay, bye, honey. Wasn't that incredible?
Yeah, no, it was really incredible and just very moving.
I know. You don't like meet people that go through that and then talk to them. That's why I feel so lucky we have this show. It's like, wow, I get to do the thing I wanted to do the show for with you, which is like hear crazy, unbelievable stories like that.
I know.
But anyway, I'm so glad she shared that with us.
Yeah, that's just incredible. We are supported by Helix Sleep. So I recently got my Helix mattress and I've had it for several months now. And I just need to say, I'm obsessed with it, to be really honest. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. I took the Helix quiz and I was matched with the Helix Twilight Luxe mattress because I wanted something that felt firm. And frankly, I really love it. It was a huge upgrade over what I used to have. And the delivery and setup was so fast and so easy. I'm sleeping well and I'm just really enjoying it. Just go to helixsleep.com/hypo, take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door shipped for free. You don't ever need to go to a mattress store again. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 and by GQ and Wired magazine. Everybody's unique and Helix knows that, so they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have a 10-year warranty and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/hypo.
We are supported by Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because of the convenience. I don't have to take all those supplements in the little bottles that are piled up on top of my kitchen counter. I just got rid of all of them and I just take AG1. It's just so simple. So what is it? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things. I take it because it helps my daily routine. It eases it. It takes all the pressure and anxiety off of like, did I take this? Did I take that? Did I take more of this? Do I need less of that? It combines it all in one delicious drink. And it helps my digestion and energy. I can actually feel it. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/hypo. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/hypo to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. There she is. Oh my God. Our guest today is an actress from the NBC Chicago family. She went from real life paralegal. What? I can't wait to find out about that. To a starring role as Officer Kim Burgess on Chicago PD and Chicago Fire. It's the lovely, the talented Marina Squarciati.
Now, yes.
Marina, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, first podcast ever.
Are you serious?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
This is it.
Well, oh my gosh.
We'll go slow.
Yeah. You're losing your podcast virginity on us.
I know. And as a threesome. It's a lot.
Listen, you got to jump in, right? Wait, but listen, I always want to say your last name, Squarciati.
It's beautiful. Either way, you said it right, the American way and the Italian way.
Mm. Do you speak Italian?
No, I speak Spanish fluently.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was raised by a single mom in New York, and we had the nanny who's like my second mom, and she doesn't speak English. So I was constantly translating in my home.
Oh, I love it.
But that's an Italian last name, right?
Yeah, we're from the Dolomites, the north of Italy.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, look at you, fancy.
Yeah, I say that if you gave me a map, I'd be like,
They gave me a map in school, said it's Italy shaped like a boot, and I pointed to the Netherlands. I was like, there it is.
Sure, it's horrible. Sure.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have you on
the
show. I know,
this is so cool. This is really, really cool. Yeah. So wait, you graduated from Northwestern University in Chicago, which I have so many friends that went there. It's such a mm-hmm. great school. Wasn't it a blast?
It was a blast.
And it's a great theater program.
Yeah, it's great. The winners suck at school. The winners still suck in shooting. But other than that, it's a really wonderful town, wonderful place, wonderful school. It was really a lovely time.
Note to the listener that she said winters, not winners.
Yeah.
The winners still suck. All the winners. We hate anybody who wins.
Yeah.
I'm an actress. I see everyone as competition.
Yeah. So, Marina, you are a real estate paralegal, right?
Yeah. So I kept my day job in New York. Mm-hmm. Everyone waitress, and I just don't like people enough to waitress.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I couldn't be like, hey, how you doing? Can I get you? Like, it's just not in me. I took my computer and paralegaled all through season one.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if it's going to last.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So what pilot makes it more than a couple episodes? I remember at the end of the season, Jesse Lee on my show was like, you have to quit.
Oh, wow. It's tough. That's amazing.
Really? Yeah. It was just like, I think it's Dick Wolf. I think we're a go.
I love how responsible you were, though.
Oh, God. I'm grossly responsible. Well, like, I'm just so gross.
Oh, Marina, I don't get it. I did the pilot of Will and Grace. I'm like, well, that's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
No, my
Why
goodness.
Would we assume anything is going to be a hit? You know.
I mean, I became a whole doctor just to be safe. Okay, give me a break here.
She did. Okay, so wait. So your character was on a Chicago PD.
Yeah, I was on Chicago PD.
And then it spun off, and then you were a regular on Chicago Fire? Did I get that right? No.
No, totally wrong.
Not wrong.
I mean, there's not like a one fact in there.
Welcome to my brain.
Cling on to.
You're like, no, God. Sean,
I was on. Place.
You're like, no, I was on ER, and then I became a paralegal. No.
She was on Scrubs, Sean. Yeah. That's what was
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Our shows do crossovers. We're sort of, it's a one Chicago universe.
Okay, so then you are on all the time. Yeah.
I'm on all the other shows as well. Mm. May I just say that I also tried to do stand-up comedy, and I did it once at Maui Taco in Midtown on a Tuesday nights.
And how did that go? How was
that? Well, so the first time I was just watching, and I thought, I could be funny on stage.
But let me just
say. You actually have to work at it.
No, it's really hard. It's harder than practicing medicine. I can definitely tell you that.
But you saying already, I did stand up at Maui Taco is funny.
That's already funny. Writing this. Yeah. It took a while and I realized that I didn't have the time to be a stand-up comedian and actress. It is.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it just the amount of time it takes to hone your set is.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It is. Yeah. Have you seen, have you seen the comedy specials of Sebastian Maniscalco?
No.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the funniest people to ever live. And I was just on vacation with some friends and we watched on Netflix, crying, laughing so hard.
Excellent.
I think he's brilliant. Now, I'm so late to the party because he sells at Madison Square Garden. I mean, he's huge.
But I'm getting in on the tail end of this.
Yeah, he's fantastic. So let's get into the good stuff. So, Marina, I want to talk about pneumonia. My sister's had it many times. I've had it in the past. It's a scary thing because when you hear you have it, you're like, people go like to the dark side right away. They're like, oh my God, pneumonia, you're going to die. But people recover from pneumonia all the time. But tell me the story and how did you know you had it?
So the pneumonia is the precursor to the problem. I also have to disagree in that, like, I got pneumonia in college when you're totally invincible. So I was like, I couldn't believe it took me down.
Yeah.
I just remember I was sitting in the, I was going to say lobby because I call the first floor of anything that I'm in
the
lobby because I'm from Manhattan. I was in the first floor of a house that I was living in and I had two hair dryers on me. I couldn't get warm at all. Like it was impossible to get warm. Went to the hospital, had pneumonia in both my lungs.
Wow.
They called my mom because they couldn't bring down my fever. They put me in an ice bath.
Ooh.
All those things. But the problem was, is that when you present at a hospital, when you're in college, they think it's meningitis.
Tell me what meningitis is.
So meningitis is inflammation of the brain meninges, which is the lining of the brain. It covers the brain. But let's back up just a little bit because, you know, classic symptoms of pneumonia are things like fever, which you mentioned, cough, shortness of breath. Sometimes the cough can produce sputum or spit, which is the Latin spur to spit. So were you having any of those classic pneumonia symptoms, or was this an atypical presentation?
I think it was an atypical presentation because all it manifested in is this incredible fever that I could not bring down.
Wow. Okay. And you weren't having any other less common symptoms like abdominal pain or sometimes nausea, vomiting, any of that?
No, I think later when I went to the hospital, I started coughing, but it wasn't immediate. The first thing was just freezing cold all the time.
You know what my mom used to say, because I was in college too when I had it, but it's called walking pneumonia. And I'm like, so if I sit down, I have sitting pneumonia? Like, I don't understand. it's pneumonia, it's pneumonia. But my mom, I called my mom. This is what my mom said. I go, Mom, I think I have pneumonia. And her first response was, ooh, the silent killer.
Oh, jeez, like, what a response.
She said that?
Yeah, the silent killer. Thanks, Mom. I actually need some help.
That reminds me of my mom, who I'll be like, Mom, I'm like so blue today or so depressed. And she's like, is it because you're not happy at work? Is it because you're not what you want? Is it because you and your husband aren't getting along? And you're like, it wasn't.
Right.
Wow. Okay, so you walk into the ER, they thought you had meningitis. Now, some of the classic signs of meningitis are things like headache, neck pain is another one, acting confused or a little disoriented.
And is it brought on by fever? Meningitis?
There can be a fever in meningitis, yeah.
So I remember, I don't know if it's like that now, but there was always this thing when you were in college, like the big fear was meningitis. Mm-hmm. And that if you couldn't touch your neck to your chest, you were dead. You were dead man walking.
Right, your chin to your chest.
You were walking death. Yeah. So I couldn't do that. And I still can't.
Oh, wow. You just can't do that, period.
I can't.
I don't have to do it because I already have three chins.
Wait, I need to check if I can do it. Okay, I can. Okay, so you can't. You just can't touch your chin to your chest at all. Okay.
By the way, when would you need to? But anyway, so you have pneumonia. You're freaking out. You call your mom. And then I read something about your mom. Your head was on a tray or something.
What does that even mean? Okay. Yeah, what's going on?
What's a person that comes who's like pretending to be a doctor, but they don't know how to be a doctor yet? They're like resident?
That's called Sean Hayes.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Okay. Nice to meet you.
You're talking about like a resident or an intern?
Like an intern. Basically, I had an intern doing, the biggest misnomer in the medical community is spinal tap. It's a battering ram in your spine.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Wow.
Wait, they did this to you?
A spinal tap done.
For pneumonia?
It's called a lumbar puncture. That's another name for it. Yeah.
Wait a minute. More apt.
Wait, for pneumonia?
No. Because they were suspecting meningitis, the workup involves a lumbar puncture or a spinal tap. So, you poor.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. So you went through, my goodness.
Let me tell you. He went in there trying to extract that fluid 3 or 4 times. It was a nightmare.
Oh, my penis hurts.
Okay, there's different ways to do the lumbar puncture. You can do it sitting up where you're kind of curled up like a baby, or you're on your side and you're curled up like a baby. So which position were you in when they did it?
I was sitting up.
Oh.
I was sitting up. I remember like one of the experienced doctors at one point was like, do you want me to do it? And I felt bad for this guy. I don't know what the policies are in the medical community, but I didn't want to be fired. So I was like, it's fine. Just let him finish the job.
Oh my goodness. God. Bless your heart. I would have been like, get the hell out of my spinal cord right now. I want to speak to the manager.
Yeah. I'm a guilt sponge. And so that really preyed on those guilt sponge sensibilities.
Oh. Yeah, me too.
But I remember the doctor, I was up like this and the doctor said to me, you know, all the things that can go wrong, but they're really bad.
You can be
paralyzed.
You
can have an infection in your spine.
Right.
And you can get a headache. And I remember joking, saying, I'll take the headache.
Famous last words.
Because I actually at that point really never had a headache. So I'm in the hospital laying down, you know, getting over pneumonia. I was fine-ish. And then I go to leave and I sit up and I pass out from the pain because it's called this like a vertical induced some headache or vertical.
Yeah. So there's a term, it's called post-dural puncture headache, or also known as a post-lumbar puncture headache. It's a specific type of headache that arises after you get a lumbar puncture done. And we don't completely understand why it happens, but it's thought to be due to leakage of the cerebrospinal fluid through the hole that was created by the needle.
Oh my God.
And if the cerebrospinal fluid leaks at a rate greater than your body's ability to produce cerebrospinal fluid, then that low cerebrospinal fluid pressure can result in pain at the level of the brain.
But just like a headache one day or like...
Oh, no.
Until you produce more cerebral fluid.
Yeah, the first 24 hours tend to be the worst, but it can definitely last longer than that. Yeah.
Apparently, also, it was exacerbated by the fact that we found out later I have something called an Arnold-Chiari malformation.
Arnold-Chiari malformation.
What is that? Who's Arnold? Who's Arnold?
Man. Okay, so...
Don't Google it because you'll think like, how is she walking?
So Chiari malformations, actually, we've talked about this before on the show, but it's been a while. But basically, it's where the back part of your brain, specifically called the cerebellum, it actually pops out of your brain. So there's a hole at the bottom of your brain called the foramen magnum.
Yeah.
And foramen meaning hole, magnum meaning large. There's like a large hole at the bottom of your skull, which is where your spinal cord is attached to your brain meat.
I put a straw there and Scotty sips a drink out there.
So there's a part of the brain, the back of the brain called the cerebellum that just, it kind of pops out through that hole and it goes into where the spinal cord is.
Oh,
and that's called a Chiari malformation. So it's congenital and many people have them and you live with them and it's nothing to write home about. But sometimes if you get your spine punctured by a lumbar puncture, it can probably lead to some issues. So do they think that your Chiari malformation basically made you more at risk of getting post-lumbar puncture headaches?
I guess so. I'm not really sure. It was so severe, the headache, and lasted so long.
How long? Like a day or a week? Or
a week?
Wow.
And but what's crazy is that if I'm lying down, totally fine.
Yeah.
Like 100% fine.
Yeah.
And then you stand up and you're like, nope, bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay. They stick this needle in your spine because they think you have meningitis.
Yes.
By the way, folks, anybody listening, we got to figure out a better way to test for meningitis.
Right? I know.
Like in 2022, can we just figure this out?
It hurts. It really hurts.
But did they not give you a painkiller or something to before they...
Maybe they anesthetize the area locally.
It's still.
Yeah, no, it's still really painful because you're in that area. I mean, it's your nerve cord. So, it's your spinal cord.
Okay, so we did the thing, check for meningitis, blah, 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 have a headache.
Which you definitely
for a week,
didn't
which
have.
You did not have. It came back negative or whatever. Oh. So they're like, okay, you have pneumonia in both lungs. But didn't they know that before they checked for meningitis?
I don't know why they checked for meningitis. Maybe it was the scare of the week, but when anyone went to the hospital from Northwestern,
checked for meningitis.
Well, here's the thing. Meningitis is life-threatening, right? Like if your brain gets inflamed from whatever infection and it's left untreated, you will become a vegetable potentially. You don't want to miss
Marina
that.
And I know a lot of actors' brains who are already inflamed.
Meningitis is rampant in Hollywood, clearly. But the point is, I think they were being really careful because you were a young, otherwise healthy person. If you had gotten meningitis and they had missed that, I mean, that's your whole life, you know.
So you're saying I should be grateful for this intern?
No, I'm not saying you should be grateful at all. I think you have every right to be pissed off about what happened. That's all very valid. But I guess like what I'm saying is I like to believe that they were coming from the right place, that they weren't just trying to poke your spine for shits and giggles.
All right, so it was pneumonia. It took you how long to get over it? Antibiotics done? Ever get it again?
I have it many times. Sometimes I think I'm like that 17th century young prince that wouldn't have made it without antibiotics in this day and age, because I've had pneumonia like 150 times.
Oh, really?
Can we back up though? You said your mom needed to put your head on a tray. Yeah. Can you explain what that is?
Yes. So I'm sure Sean can relate that when there's an important audition or something, you will go to any lengths to go to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing at Northwestern called the New Leagues. and they pick the top four female and four male actors mm-hmm. to take them to New York, audition for agents, and basically sort of set you up on this platform.
What's it called? New what?
New Leagues.
New Leagues, got it.
New Leagues. And New Leagues was that day that I was released from the hospital.
Wow.
Wow.
And my mom had flown in because they were so scared about my condition. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I cannot miss New Leagues. Yeah. I cannot.
Wow.
So my mom got this hospital tray and I couldn't get my head up.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't truly pass out from the pain, but it was almost unbearable.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we got this tray and she put my head on this tray. Uh-huh. And we went to the quad.
Oh my God.
And she's holding my head on a tray. And may I just say that we couldn't step. I just remember I was like, we couldn't walk because the bouncing. So my mom and I are like sashaying.
Like sashaying because you couldn't walk.
Oh my goodness.
And other people carrying trays of food, your mom's carrying your head on a tray saying, have you tried the head? It's fantastic.
I was not going to miss this audition. Yeah. I wasn't.
Wait, so but if your head's in a tray, how in the world are you going to audition?
Right.
So she brought, basically pure will. She brought me into the theater. I remember the two stairs I had to walk up to get on the stage because she was with me in the dark.
My God. Uh-huh.
And it was so painful. I did my monologue. Mm. And then I went back down, put my head on the tray.
Mm. Oh my God. And still had a fever at the time and all that stuff?
No, the pneumonia was like, had abated. I wouldn't have been able to go if I was gonna say. Sort of
right.
Still.
You were still just dealing with the post-lumbar puncture headache issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
What a story, my God.
Wait, so what happened? Did you end up, like, what happened to the audition? Like, how did it
go? The woman you see here today is because I went to New League. Yeah, I mean, one of the hardest things about being an actor is getting an agent.
Yeah.
That's a brutal part of the business. And I got an agent from that and then got my next agent. And it really, truly set me up.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing.
I mean,
boy, you really wanted it.
That wasn't going to stop you. Yeah. I mean, that is true acting. That despite your head on a tray,
well, persistence,
you still killed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, the head
on
the tray.
Oh my gosh. Props to your mom also.
Oh, my mom is like a stage mom. She'd be like, I'd still be there if I could be. Holding her head on the tray.
Goodness. Moms are the best.
All right. So listen, Marina, we're going to play a game right now.
Yeah, it's called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. So you're each going to get three questions and I'll give you possible points for creativity if you don't know the answer. Sean, you are up first. Are you ready?
Ready, Santa.
Okay, Sean, in the human body, where is the smallest bone located? The smallest bone in the human body located.
Well, I'll tell you where it's not
located. It's the teeniest.
Wink, wink. Okay, the teeniest bone.
Yeah, the smallest bone.
Okay, I'm going to get this right. Let me just think. Well, because it might be in the pinky toe or it might be. No. It's got to be tiniest bone. Wait, let me. I'm going to get this right. It's going to be. I don't know. The pinky toe. I don't know.
Actually, it's even smaller than that. It's in your ear. It's actually a bone in the middle ear. It's called the Stapes bone.
Yes. Yeah,
it's the smallest bone in the body.
How about that?
Okay. Second question. In the show Breaking Bad, what nickname did the main character Walter White go by in the drug world?
Oh my God. You know, by the way, so late to that party. I just watched it like 2 years
ago. Never seen it.
Marina.
Oh, wow.
It is. Incredible.
It's really good. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's amazing.
I don't know. The darkness scares me away.
There is a lot of darkness. Yeah. If you're not into darkness, I would not advise watching Breaking Bad.
I'm not into darkness. I read this book, Station 11, which is about basically a pandemic and the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, everyone said the same thing to me that they said about Breaking Bad. It's not that dark. It's a really good show. And they were like, it's not really about the apocalypse. It's about something else. But guess what? I watched it. It's about the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Like, no, but
Breaking Bad is just really, really well written and really well acted. Anyway,
okay. Do you know the answer? What was his nickname in the drug world? Walter White.
I'm gonna know it, but
there's a scene where this is the answer. He's like Heisenberg. Remember his drug name was his drug world name was Heisenberg. You don't remember
that? Oh, is that the answer?
Yeah, that's the answer. Heisenberg.
Oh, I don't know. I remember.
Okay. Third question. Let's see if you get this. In the second act of Promises, Promises. Okay.
Oh,
let's see. What card game did your character Chuck play with Fran while they sang, I'll never fall in love again?
Oh my gosh.
We played a card game. Was it like bridge or something? What was it?
That is incorrect. It was gin rummy.
Gin rummy.
Yeah.
Look, okay, Marina, I didn't get one answer.
You
right.
got 0 out of 3 questions, which is consistent with your brand.
Well, let me tell you, I feel set up for success.
Okay. So, Marina, are you ready? Shall we begin?
I have like such a competitive spirit, and
you already won.
I don't.
Oh my gosh!
Won.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, Sean got 0 out of 3. So,
yeah.
Okay. First question for you: in the human skull, what bone is the largest bone in the human skull?
The skull.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's what I was going to say.
There's more than one bone in the skull.
Yeah, it's made of multiple bones. The answer is the mandible or jawbone. That is the largest bone in the human skull. Okay.
How about that?
Second question. Which American TV producer, known for his work on a law procedural show, is a co-creator and executive producer of the Chicago franchise?
Oh, come on.
Dick Wolf.
Yes, that is correct. The answer is Dick Wolf. Okay, third question. And by the way, you've already won. I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
Third question. What is your character's radio code on Chicago PD?
5021 Eddie.
That is correct.
Oh my God.
That
what?
Is correct. Congratulations, Marina. Congratulations. You're in Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame.
Ladies and gentlemen, Marina Scricciotti, you are the best. Thank you so much for being here today.
And thank you for sharing this fascinating medical story about pneumonia and lumbar punctures. My goodness.
Please check her out on all the Chicago shows.
Thanks, guys.
And we hope your first podcast experience was a pleasant one.
It was. I'm going to go for 3 for 3 on my next podcast, whatever it is.
You should. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you so much for being here.
Bye, guys.
So sweet of you. Bye, honey.
See you later. Thanks. What a riot. I love that. Yeah, she was great.
I don't know that we ever got around to like how she got pneumonia or whatever, but it didn't matter.
Oh, I know. I wish we could have asked that.
I know.
Man.
Like, because can you catch pneumonia from somebody else? Is it like a virus?
Yeah.
You can?
Well, lots of different things can cause pneumonia. Bacteria, fungi, viruses. And generally, when you do a chest x-ray, that's the best way to kind of confirm that it's there.
So is bronchitis the precursor to pneumonia? Or
not necessarily. Bronchitis is just inflammation of the lung airways, whereas pneumonia, by definition, is part of the lung tissue being consolidated or taken over by some kind of infection, whether it's a bacteria or virus or pneumonia.
I remember my mom, when I was a kid, she would mop the floor with ammonia.
Oh,
and I was like,
yes.
And I'd be like,
go.
Mom, you're going to get sick. I really did. I was like.
And you were like, pneumonia.
I was pneumonia. Pneumonia. Oh, my God. We got to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. This is Hypochondreactor. We love you very
love
much.
You.
And
thank you so much.
As well to Marty for sharing
Marty
her story.
And Marty, what a great story. Thanks, guys, for listening. Don't worry. Be healthy. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hypochondriactor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenhoel and Leo Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriactor are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.